Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have David B. Wright. We'll hear a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is David B. Wright. We caught up with him at the SEEK conference. He is a great pro-life activist and leader in the pro-life movement for years and years now. He's become Catholic, and just a wonderful interview. He's going to tell us about his work and some of the insights he has on what we need to do going forward.
And we're now going to a reflection from the Friary.
We're here in St. Louis for the SEEK conference, and we're here, this is the first week in January, and Father John Paul, we've got a booth set up for vocations. We're going to do a lot of stuff. It's going to be a busy week.
One of the most powerful impressions that most people come away with and seek is the reverence of the Mass. I've noticed just celebrating Mass every day here with 20,000 plus young people, and it has to be over 500 priests. And probably 15 to 20 bishops. The reverence and solemnity of the Mass is what sets the tone for each day.
Our experience here at SEEK 24 in St. Louis, Missouri, and I think it's very fitting that before we head back down to Alabama, we stop by this beautiful Cathedral Basilica of St. Louis, and we just went inside, and there are mosaics everywhere. Beautiful. It truly lifts the mind and heart to God. They have Eucharistic adoration going on, and just a fostering of reverence for our faith. But again, we just concluded this wonderful week. Father John Paul, I don't know if you have any closing thoughts before we head back.
Well, just one word, I think, hope. I think this gives me a lot of hope. It's given the friars a lot of hope just to see 24,000 plus young people. I know that there was going to be, 17,000 registered. Mm-hmm. But just to think over the week, 24,000 young people came to pray and just give due homage to Almighty God.
Well, David B. Wright, welcome to Life on the Rock.
It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while. Now, you're the founder of 40 Days for Life, the CEO. You're moved on to become a pro-life consultant and strategist. But I wanted to talk to you about, where are we at now? Because I'm not sure people are aware fully. You know, we had the Supreme Court decision, Dobbs versus Jackson, 2022, that overturned Roe versus Wade.
Right.
And it shifts to the states. What does that mean, shifts to the states?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. So when the Supreme Court overturned Roe, what they didn't do is they didn't ban abortion. They didn't pass a nationwide prohibition on abortion. They simply said the previous Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade was wrong. There was no constitutional right to abortion. And as a result, they passed the decision back to the states. So individual states can make decisions through the people in those states and their elected officials on whether or not to allow for some or all or no abortions. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden we went from this one focal point of the federal legislature and the Supreme Court to now we have 50 unique state-by-state battles for life. Some places have gotten much, much better. States like Texas, states like Missouri, states like Tennessee, where abortions have been largely restricted or prohibited. But other states have gotten much worse. Illinois has had a 220% increase in abortions since the overturn of Roe versus Wade. California, Gavin Newsom, the governor, is actually trying to recruit people from out of state to come to California for abortion tourism, and they're seeing an explosion of abortions there. So the landscape has changed drastically, and I think it's important for all of us to understand that we thank God that Roe v. Wade was overturned. It was a huge victory, but our work is not done. In fact, it's more urgent and pressing now than it ever has been.
Right. And just a quick note, I've heard that the actual abortion numbers have gone up since the Dobbs decision, but I've also read that that could be like maybe even big tech money and maybe states putting money into making abortion more accessible or giving people means to come to their whatever to get the abortion, pay right. for it.
Well, the Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood in the abortion industry, published a widely covered study just a few months back where they were looking at the states that had not restricted or prohibited abortion, and that's where they saw some of the increases. I live in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We've had a 60% reported increase in abortions since the overturn of Roe because our state has not passed additional restrictions. But states like Texas and others, people are flooding across the borders to places like New Mexico that went from 5 abortion centers to 15 within a month after the Dobbs decision. So we are seeing a lot of shift. That study was research that looked at the 6-month period after the Dobbs decision versus the comparable period of a previous year. And they said that based on that, and there were some questions of the way the data was gathered, but still they were seeing approximately a 9% increase in abortions nationwide. And I think some of that is the backlash, the earthquake after the Dobbs decision and big tech and others that were fueling that. And some people thinking this is my last chance to get an abortion. But we also have to realize that we still have a lot of work to do. There are a lot of mothers in need right now, a lot of children at risk. So as I said earlier, our work is not done. We have a lot of work to do to be a voice for the voiceless.
And I think we were all shocked by like Ohio enshrining it in their constitution. So through a ballot, state ballot, you can put this in the constitution, not just a law.
Right.
And so this is like the point we're at now that some of these states, there's a big push for states to do this. And the pro-life movement has to be awake and mobilized here
Absolutely.
To push back on this. Because, and you can explain this to us, it's harder, once it's enshrined in the Constitution, it's a lot harder to overturn it than a law. Right.
Right. So. And many states allow the citizens to actually do a ballot initiative to amend the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Some do not. But those states that do, that's been the abortion industry's tactic. So Michigan and Ohio, Vermont, California, they've been actually amending the Constitutions to put it in to the Constitution. It's a lot harder to change than simply passing a law. And right now, because the abortion industry in each of those cases, we've lost 7 elections. The pro-life movement has a score of 0. The abortion industry has 7, 4 of which were state ballot initiatives since the overturn of Roe. But in 2024, we are on target to see 11 more states have abortion on the ballot. And that does not bode well because we've lost double digits in every state thus far. So there's a lot that we need to do to mobilize, to change hearts and minds, and to help women in a time of need and to protect children at risk of death by abortion.
So that phrase, to have abortion on the ballot, means to amend the Constitution.
Correct.
11 states have done this.
11 states are on the verge of doing that this year.
And so 4 have done it, right? As of this taping, Ohio, California, Michigan, Vermont, we looked that up, we think. So we know, you know, big liberal states certainly are going to probably go that way. But, you know, it's been pointed out, too, that this kind of post Dobbs decision, there's a huge media push. I mean, they are mobilized, right, to get their pro-choice message out there. And it results in a confusion. I mean, people can be manipulated by the media to think, okay, we got to protect this right. But sometimes these amendments can be even like full 9 months allowance, right, of abortion.
Right. In many of these cases, it's allowing unlimited abortion at any time during pregnancy for any reason.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people may not fully realize this. There's a lot of confusion in the ballot language. A lot of people are scared. There's a lot of manipulation, the media, political figures. And so we have to be very discerning And we have to recognize even people of faith have regrettably been voting in some cases in favor of abortion in the state constitutions, whether it's unwittingly, not knowing what they're doing, or whether it's, well, I don't like abortion, but I don't want it to be completely gone. Yeah. So we have a lot of work to do educating the people in our pews, in our parishes, in our dioceses, and in our communities, other Christian churches, to help awaken the body of Christ, to help people to realize every child knit together in a mother's womb is made in God's image and likeness, and every mother at risk of abortion is at risk of a lifetime of regrets. We have to help her, we have to help the child, and we have to advocate for life, to build a culture of life, as St. John Paul II told us so many times throughout his pontificate. Right. That's what we need to do now, more than ever.
Yeah. I know, it hit me the last few years, you know, how radical really America has been. I mean, we pride ourselves on championing freedom, but when it comes to abortion, you're talking about license. I mean, freedom is a power to do good, right? So abortion is wrong in every case. But I was struck by, at the time, I think I read like there was like 11 nations on earth that had the liberal abortion policy that we have. And two of them, I remember, was North Korea and China, that have abhorrent, you know, rights, human rights history.
Abuses. And here we are in company with those nations.
Yeah, so we stand in solidarity with them and our pro-choice policy. Mm-hmm. So that is a radical thing that's being pushed in America, you know, that we have to oppose. And I feel like, you know, I know John Paul II talked about awaking the sleeping giant, right? If we just mobilize Catholics on this issue, because you were telling me like some exit polls, like, you know, 52% of Catholics voted for this, these amendments, you know, these ballot proposals for pro-choice side. Talk about that issue, the education that needs to take place.
Yeah. Well, the exit polling doesn't tell us the whole story because we don't know, are these people who are culturally Catholic? Are they mass attending Catholics? But at the same point, for somebody to identify as Catholic and still to vote for abortion means we haven't fully done our job of helping people to recognize the inherent dignity and worth of every person, the preborn person, the immigrant, the person who is elderly. We have to see that dignity. And then we have to act upon that to protect that child, to protect that mother as much as we can. So we need to educate the people in our parishes. We need to educate through channels like EWTN. We need to do everything we can, because once we help people to understand that our faith does form our understanding of human life, what is human life? It's a gift from God. God created us in His image, in His likeness, knit together in our mother's womb. Once we understand that, once we share that with our brothers and sisters sitting in the pews at our parish, that's where we'll begin to not only change hearts and minds, but then also activate and awaken the faithful to do things, to go out and help mothers in a time of need, to go out and advocate for pro-life policies and to oppose pro-abortion policies, to go out and help to shape the next generation, the youth who are realizing that abortion is an affront to human rights. They don't want to be in company with North Korea and China. Yeah. Our youth are saying we can do better for women, we can do better for children, and our youth are overwhelmingly more pro-life than our generation. So that gives us a lot of hope for the future.
Right, right. And maybe we'll come back to more of those topics, but first we got to take a little break. We'll be back with David B. Wright in just a moment. David, tell us about your own story. You became Catholic 5 years ago, and the pro-life message was, the teaching was important to you. How did that help lead you to the church?
So there are a few factors affected my journey into the church. One of them was a girl, my wife, my lifelong Catholic wife. Another aspect was a lot of the lay faithful I met in my pro-life work. But really, I was deeply struck in my 20 years of service in the pro-life movement, running a local organization, starting and building 40 Days for Life, traveling around the country and around the world, and working alongside Catholics, and understanding that the Catholic Church has always foundationally been right about the dignity of the human person, right about the sanctity of life. The church denomination I grew up in actually caved on that issue and was advocating for abortion, regrettably. Mm-hmm. And I was always at odds with that, saying, how can we as Christians, when we are told in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, when we're told about the dignity of life in the womb, that was always a conflict, and I was always moving further away from that. But I was like, is it the Catholic Church? But the church was right. And then I started reading deeply into Humanae Vitae and the teachings of the church on the dignity of the marital act and how we can never thwart that through contraception, and then also the appreciation of life at the end of life to oppose euthanasia. And I just started seeing this richness, this beauty of Catholic Church teaching. And so it took me a long time. I'm a hardhead. But after 28 years of attending Mass with my Catholic wife, it was a pro-life friend who, in St. Louis, ironically, he's here at this Sikh conference where we're recording. And he asked me one day, he said, David, when are you going to become Catholic? And I laughed and I said, oh, I get asked that all the time. He said, have you asked Jesus that question in adoration? And I hadn't. And so that day I stopped at a parish. I went to Eucharistic adoration and I got down on my knees before our Lord. And I said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And it was during that hour that I felt the invitation to begin RCIA. And I went home and I told my wife, and she became my sponsor throughout the process. And so that following Easter Vigil, after all of those years and all those experiences and understanding church teaching, but once I came to realize the truth, the beauty, the goodness of the faith, I said, this is where I belong. Mm-hmm. And so at the Easter Vigil in 2018, I was received into the church. My son was the altar server holding the paten as I received my first communion. My daughter was in the front row. She's now a Nashville Dominican sister, and she was there, my mother-in-law, and it was just a beautiful moment. But for me, it was not the end of the story. It wasn't the conclusion. It was just turning the page from where I had been to a new chapter of all the richness and all the understanding of everything that the Catholic Church offers to all of us. But foundationally, it was that pro-life understanding and the witness I saw lived out by so many faithful lay people, priests, religious, all around the world that helped open my heart and invite me to become fully Catholic. And I'm thankful to God every day for that.
Right. And of course, you know, it's a human rights issue, so reason can tell us that the unborn child is a child. You know, basic biology textbooks will say that. You know, it has its own life, its own DNA, its blood type and everything. So a human life has begun. We just by reason we know that. But our faith confirms it, strengthens it. And you know, we can get in this attitude of it's, well, let's live and let live, right? In terms of letting people make their own decisions about it and everything. But, you know, we have this duty to protect the life of the unborn, to care about our brothers and sisters. And it's interesting, you mentioned Humanae Vitae, like the teaching the church on contraception. I mean, abortion's kind of like an ultimate fruit of contraception, right? Mm-hmm. It's like the last ditch resort, you mm-hmm. know, to...
Well, and even in that document, Saint now, Paul mm-hmm. VI, identified that if contraception became widely available, women would be objectified. We've seen that in our culture. Yeah. He talked about that abortion would become more prevalent. He identified, prophesied, essentially, about what we see in our culture today. Yeah. And so contraception really was the gateway drug that opened the doors for then, years later, the legalization or decriminalization of abortion. So we have a lot of work to do to change the culture, but once we understand the dignity of the human person and the gift of our human sexuality that God gave us to be expressed within marriage, that's when we begin to start changing the culture.
Yeah. Now, you've been boots on the ground for a long time. Your work with 40 Days for Life, you guys are, you're praying outside the clinics, you're talking to women going in. Some of the things that we're talking about, education, the need for it, what you have found effective. So somebody listening to this, really, what can I do to educate others? What are things you found to be effective?
Yeah, I think there's two kind of different approaches. Both are important. One is we need to demonstrate the humanity of the child in the womb. And we have beautiful technology like 4D ultrasounds that many of our pregnancy centers now have. And for somebody to be able to go and see the moving fingers and the toes and hear the heartbeat and see the child moving, for people to connect with the humanity of that child. So I would say a great educational tool is help people to see into that window into the womb. We found that 7 out of 10 women on the way to have an abortion, if they see their own ultrasound, will choose life once they recognize that humanity. So that's the first step. The other side of the coin, though, is also to recognize what abortion does to women. And the best way, I think, is to hear the stories of those who had abortions, post-abortive women and men. Their stories are heart-wrenching because they went to have an abortion thinking it would solve a problem, only to have it create additional problems in their lives. And as we hear those stories, or as we hear the stories of those who have been through a traumatic case like incest or rape or some other horrific situation and yet came out the other side without the regret of an abortion, or those who did have the regret of an abortion, those stories really help us to understand this at a much deeper heart level beyond just the head level. Science can teach us about the humanity of the child. We have to connect with that as a person made in God's image and likeness. We have to connect with that mother. Yeah. So I think those are the educational tools yeah. that will bear the most fruit.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Yeah, sometimes just to apply moral principles here, we can never do evil that hopefully a good will come out of, So it's never going to be a good thing to take the life of the unborn, right? And oftentimes it wounds the woman in such a profound way. And the other thing you emphasize too is accompanying the women, most women feel driven to it. They're afraid, how am I going to provide for the child? Catholics have to be there, right, to walk with these women.
Right. Yeah. And that is the most important thing frontline that we can do yeah. at this moment in time yeah. is walk with those women. If these abortion numbers are going up or stabilizing or people going across yeah. borders, we need to be willing to say the four most important words to a woman facing an unexpected pregnancy: I will help you. Those four words, 8 out of 10 women who had abortion said if one person had helped them, they wouldn't have had the abortion. Yeah. So if we're willing to say, I will help you, and then live that out. So the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has the Helping Moms in Need, Walking with Moms in Need program. We have Gabriel Projects. We have pregnancy centers. We have maternity ministries. Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get into the messiness of real life with women, with their children, and with these situations? If we are, we will be able to save far more lives. And for that mother that you help who doesn't have the abortion, you ended abortion in that situation. Mm-hmm. Built a culture of life for that mother and for that child in that situation.
Yeah. And hopefully mobilize the biological father to Stephanie.
Amen.
David, thank you so much.
Father Mark,
thank
it's you. Always a joy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your work and being a warrior out there.
You bet.
You're at the SEEK conference in St. Louis and talking to Jeannie Mancini and David B. Wright. They really impressed upon me the importance of these ballot initiatives on the state's mm-hmm. level. There's like 4 states that have amended their constitutions to be, radically pro-abortion, full 9 months and things. 11 more are coming up. So it's much harder to overturn a ballot, a change in the Constitution than simply
just the law.
So some people misunderstand that about Dobbs versus Jackson, that it just said the Roe decision was a bad decision. So there is no ban on abortion out there. States can do whatever they want in this regard.
Right. But one of the things that struck me about his the interview mm-hmm. with David is that before he became Catholic, he was just a non-Catholic, very involved with the pro-life movement. And I think there's something to be said, because this is something that Catholics and non-Catholics can definitely unite on, to fight for life. And I think, again, that's at the heart of the Christian message. So we do need to bring that awareness, that that unity, and strengthening our numbers. And again, like you mentioned, once it's kind of constitutionalized in the state, that's very hard to overturn. It's not just a law anymore. Mm-hmm. So again, we have to educate, we have to get people in the voting, we have to really mobilize our power to really defend and proclaim that gospel of life.
And to realize, the pro-choice side, they're pushing for full 9 months, no limits at all. It's very, Europe doesn't do that. I mean, most countries of the world doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. America is like standing with some really other radical countries on this issue. So one thing I take heart on is if we unite as Christians, Catholics, Protestants, and even unbelievers that are pro-life, we see this issue as a long-term big issue. Mm-hmm. We're not going to give up. I mean, we're going to be fighting, but these early years here are going to be very critical.
Absolutely.
But we have our faith to motivate us, which is so important. And not just, with walks and demonstrations and a prayer life, that's all important. But too, that it was shocking to me, he said 8 out of 10 women would say if they had someone come forward that would say, I will help you, one person, they wouldn't have had the abortion. Right. So it's prayer and action, like to walk along to accompany a woman to help her can make such a difference.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we'll send you to that vineyard with a blessing. May our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He fill you with His wisdom to guide you in this pro-life movement, to strengthen you, to make you courageous, to take chances, to risk something for life. May God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock. I just wanna praise you.
just want to praise you, but they laughing at him. Formed us from the very dust of earth and called him Adam. There's only one God, yeah, don't you forget it. All the stars in the sky, yeah, he gets the credit. Wish upon that star, king of kings of who you are. Never lost and never far, can't comprehend. It's so bizarre, but he's our God, we know his name. Trumpet, blast, voice, proclaim. All transforming, not the same. Turn from sin to where all change, yeah, you know that. Look in the past, it's a throwback. Think from my head with the skull cap. Changing the back from the dull rap with a love tap, and it's so sad. Millions of people just go mad. Yelling and fighting with no pad. Walking around with a bad face like a nomad. There's a problem and we gotta face it. They always talk in heaven, but they never chase it. We searching for the truth while they go replace it. I'ma start from the basic and say that.
I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you. You, 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 yeah. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you. You, 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 you.